with nobody. I just said no. That was a bad time.
He's trying to be part of the family. Do you know what I asked? I said, there's some of us buried out here. I was trying to be part of the family. They don't treat me like part of the family, so I don't think I need to start acting like part of the family anymore.
You can't get my name.
Or something's going to give.
Let's be praying. Seems like we're missing a bunch of them this Sunday morning. Had a bunch of them last Sunday that's not here. But let's be praying, Sister Ed and Brother Tony, they're not here. Karen, let's be praying for them. Let's still remember George. I kind of hoped George would call me. I'd give him a number and all.
Well, I went to pick him up this morning, but he wasn't there. So I don't know what happened. He called me last night, said he wanted to come, and I told him I'd be there. And then I went. He was out knocking on the door, so I don't know if he's okay or what.
Let's still remember Ron down here too. Ronnie Brock. Just remember him. I remember Ronnie when he was about that high, don't y'all? Don't some of y'all? Let's pray for him. I know he's changed a lot. The devil will change you a lot too. But when God gets you where he wants you at, you don't have to do no more changing. Unless it's for the better. But what I'm seeing changed a lot for the worse. You can go, seem like further and further the wrong way, but so far you can go and be right. You do the things that's pleasing in the sight of God, and you all right. Amen. But let's remember him too this morning. And y'all remember my family this morning. We buried a loved one this week. I don't know if everybody heard about that or not. Uncle Bob and his wife been sick for the last 4 or 5 years. She really fell off pretty sick the last 3 years or so. She'd been on dialysis and all, and her sugar had been so bad over the years that she'd been legally blind for about the last 3 or 4 years. And my Uncle Bobby, they stayed right there in Jamestown, there in Springfield. He took care of her and all. I've been telling him how proud I was of him, but she died Monday. We had our funeral yesterday. You know, I mentioned sometime, you know, you hear this Sunday and gone next Sunday, buried next Sunday, you know, have a funeral and all. I've heard some say here today and gone tomorrow, but really it should be here today and gone today. But let's pray for Bob. I know a lot of them are real close with me as Bob, and I have. I've been touched with Bobby over the years. But y'all pray for me, family. There's going to be some struggling going on in the future. I told him he needed to go to church this morning. That would help him get started in the right direction. I'm going to check too later on today to see if he made the church this morning. Our family church is about to be great there at Laurel Hill. Y'all pray for them too, if y'all help them. Anybody else got any requests?
Thank you.
the church with faith, trust, and belief in God. And then God got us here for a purpose, not just to be sitting idle. Praise the Lord. Some people make some bad statements and stuff. You can't go by every statement that people make. The church is working and doing something for God. God's people are doing something for God. Let's remember Rachel. We went over there to Brother Thomas Wednesday night. She went to the altar and prayed, confessed to get saved. Didn't I put a request for him several times for the revival? That God would bless and save. Don't let the devil shoot down your prayers. You keep praying. Keep looking up. Keep having faith in God. It might be your people next come to the altar. Praise the Lord. So let's keep praying. Anybody else?
Y'all still remember Caitlin? She called me yesterday. Said she was feeling kind of bad. And I think she was kind of hitting around. She wanted some prayer, but I think it's just her body's got to get used to the blood flowing the right way now. And, you know, it's making her feel about as bad as it did when it was all flowing the wrong way. But I think it's more or less trying to get used to everything being fixed now. But y'all pray for her. Carrie said she's been some when she's sitting down. She's been taking her oxygen off. And her oxygen's been staying where it's supposed to. So that's already a plus.
Yeah, yeah.
But and it may just take her a while to get used to it without walking. And because the oxygen, you get sort of dependent on it. But y'all still be praying for Carrie. And she's trying. And she has a lot of battles facing her. But the Lord knows how to fix them.
Let's keep praying for her. Let's keep praying for our visitors. We'll have one or two more come in this morning, it seems like. But let's pray for them. God bless them and help them. Amen. They can come right through that door like God wants them to. Is there anything else? Saying you're broke, nothing like that. I know one fellow, he got a little $100,000, he wasn't getting nervous. But let's pray. I tell you, the Bible says the word man provide and that type of thing. It's hard when you want to go and work and do stuff and make money and you can't do it. But let's pray and ask God. There's a lot of difference between wanting to work and not being able to work. Let's pray and ask God to bless him with some word. Is there anything else? All right, let's get to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. Thank you to come again to the house of the Lord. God, to be amongst the people of God and the house of God. God, we pray that you'll bless service. Bless you in spirit, power, and might. God, come by this morning, Lord, and stir our hearts and souls. God, bless your people. Bless every heart that come this way this morning. Every soul. God, there's needs all throughout every heart, throughout every family, and every life, God. But we know, God, that you can feel the void this morning. God, bless all the requests. Loved ones passed on this week, God. Family members hurting the hearts. God bless them. Heavenly Lord. God, Sister Allen's down by the hospital. Lord, help her recover. To do good, Sister Karen. Same thing. Lord, bless them. Help God. She can recover. Come to full terms with her health, Lord. Here, John. God bless our visitors, Lord. God, you know the ones. You know the needs. God bless them in heaven this morning, Lord. God, we pray that you'll do it for the glory of God. God, we pray that you'll do it for the glory of God. God bless this person's work. God, the husband. God bless them in heaven, Lord. God, we know the situation, Lord. God, people want to work the same like they can't find work. Sometimes it's far few and in between, God. Bless you, Lord, in that situation, God. Thank you for this, Lord. God, we pray to thank you this morning, Lord, for what you're doing for us. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing for us this morning, God. Just fill our desires, God, to serve. Help us, Lord, to stand for you, God. To be what you want us to be this morning, God. To be in the right place at the right time, God. Doing and saying the right thing for you, Lord. Being a blessing to you, God. Being a blessing to your heart, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
inside, everything. I tell you, if you don't get a feeling of going home around a funeral procession, it just about ain't no way to get a feeling about going home. Amen. I know you can sing songs of my heavenly home, the kingdom of home, the great jubilation, the meaning in the air. I know you can sing all those songs. But I tell you, when you're there at the funeral home and you look at some of them that's done and gone on, that sure puts it in your heart. What page you got there?
276.
I'm going to go ahead and take up the tithes and offerings if you got something you want to give. I'm sure the good Lord will bless you for it.
While we are living in this world,
we
get in touch with. Angie?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. May some of them follow Bach and Allah and whatever else and whoever else. But I got a prayer asked from God this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He wants you to cry out to him, but he's the one that listens.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that listens to the prayers of the saints. Praise the Lord. We've got some other selections. What page we got?
Thank you.
that touch, where would I be this morning? Praise the Lord. Where would you be this morning if God hadn't sent His Son to come and bless your heart and soul, spirit of truth, the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord? Where would you be at this morning? Amen. Some of mine come in and visit sometime. It's been a long time since any of my folks have been out there. Our lesson found this week on page 67, lesson number 11. If you got your Bibles with you, open up your Bibles. Our lesson found in Matthew chapter 5. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I always pick out, well not always, but a lot of times I always pick out a couple of other verses of Scripture that might go along with our text for the Sunday morning lesson. To be honest with you, these Beatitudes in chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, really all these verses go together. What the Lord is doing here is teaching upon the mountain. And He's teaching the multitude of people that followed Him up there. And when He starts teaching, He starts out with the Beatitudes of God. He talks about the law, spiritual standards, purity. He talks about marriage, profanity, talks about love, and he talks about all kind of divine standards, prayer, Lord prayer, worldly cares. He talks about a lot of different things in these three chapters. And what he's doing is teaching you exactly the way a Christian should live. Did you know the golden rule for the Bible is even in Sermon on the Mount? If you look at 7 and 12, therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you wish men to do to you, that's the same you should do to them. Amen. That is the golden rule. But the title of our lesson this morning, the Spirit of the Christian. Now, you really ain't supposed to have but one spirit when you turn your life over to the Lord. And that is the Spirit of the Lord. A lot of people people I know think there's about 50 different spirits that come with the Lord. 1 Corinthians and other places too. In one body, one spirit, one Lord, love you all, love you all. There's only one spirit, the different manifestations of the spirit, but the same spirit that worketh all in all. Look short of the Spirit of God, it does a lot of different things, just like God Himself, just like the Bible teaches. There's a lot of teaching in the Bible. The Spirit of God ain't nailed down to one way or one topic or one subject. The Spirit of God's not confined. The Spirit of God is the one that comes in there and sets you at liberty to be a child of God so you can be what God wants you to be. Let's start right there with 16, 5 and 16. I want to show y'all some of what God expects. Matthew 5 and 16, just what God expects from a child of God. Through the Spirit now. The Spirit is what will lead you and guide you, comfort you, and keep you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father's good works. What does it say?
Your good works.
That the Father in heaven may be glorified, right? Your good works. The devil made me do it. No, you went along with the devil. That's exactly right. Our life is supposed to glorify God. Our words, our relationship with the Lord, with the world, with our family, with our children, with our fathers and parents, with the neighbors, our good works to glorify God, which is in heaven. And I like what verse 20 said too. We'll get on with the scripture in our lesson. Verse 20 says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in to the kingdom of heaven." Sister Lisa, I can't quite grasp how people come up with this stuff that they indoctrinate into the Bible when it clearly tells you not to bring your doctrine into the Bible. You can't. I know they try to exceed God's righteousness, exceed God's requirements, but you need to try to do none of that. You don't need to try to exceed what God's got for you. My goodness, there's enough in there already. You don't need to try to add nothing to it. Add nothing to it. Just take nothing away from it now. Don't take nothing away, neither. Live right what God wants you at, and you'll be in the right place. And Sister Lisa, you know, sit down and start teaching that stuff. Or get in the pulpit and start teaching that stuff. It does kind of throw the red flag up. I heard it a while back, last year. You can't really be surprised by some of it because you know it already. But when you hear it for yourself, experience it for yourself, you can't go by it. You can't go by it. You got to go by the Word of God. You got to go by the Spirit of God. A true Christian. See, what the Pharisees were doing back in their day was trying to live contrary to the law and adding to the law and what they thought should be the law. You can't do that. The scribes and Pharisees, but that's what they were doing. All right, let's get on in our lesson. Let's start right there with 5 and 1. Just then to read this. Verse 3, 4.
And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Now, see, the multitude, that means a great number of people. They went up into the mountain, and they went and followed the Lord. Why? Because they wanted to get what God had for them. What they wanted to do is get what the Lord had for them. Sometimes you might have to. That's right. Sometimes you might have to climb a mountain to get where the Lord's at. You ever heard much on Mount Everest? Have you ever heard much on that? I think it was like 180 some people got killed trying to climb that mountain over the last 100 years since the start of mountain climbing or something. Since they started keeping records. But I tell you, I don't mean for you to kill yourself. I don't believe Jesus means for you to kill yourself. He means for you to come and listen and talk to them, saying that it seems like it's the wrong thing to do is to try to work yourself to death. And even in the Word of God, in the church and different type things. You do what the Lord wants you to, and that's plenty. But you can work yourself to death, and they'll get overworked. They'll get overworked.
Try to do it on their own.
Let the Lord hit the climbing mountains. The Bible says if anybody come up any other way, they'd be treated like a thief and a robber. Let some go overboard with it, let some go overboard with it. You got to stay on even keel when you're serving the Lord and trying to do for God. The worst thing you can do in a revival is tell the church you don't bring nothing but milk and water, and that'll kill it. You can shut it down right then and go on to the house. Get in and eat some drinks, send peace and joy and Holy Ghost. Spirit of God, it's in peace and joy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what that means is those that realize this high, lofted, lifted, exalted self-righteousness spirit ain't worth 2 cents. Boy, I thought I was a big man. Boy, I thought I was a giant. But when the Lord come by, I realized how poor and simple I was. Read the next 3, Sister Jane.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that sit on the earth at the righteousness, for they shall be healed.
Now that word mourn, that means to cry, moan. You know, you can groan and moan on the inside. But really, it means that, I think, there for the Christian attitude, the mourn for loss, mourn for the church, the mourn for the advancement of God's people to move forward, mourn in prayer for the needs of the people, your family, your kinfolk, one that's asking for prayer. Some of the requests that raise your heart and get down. Death, times of death, and that kind of thing. There's a time that you just can't help but have a mourning type spirit, a grieving spirit. You know, there's a time you can't help it. The preacher I was looking for yesterday, I wanted to say stuff, but my heart was so big I couldn't say it so much. That love gets in your throat, you can't talk. You know, but thank the good Lord, you have to get up and say something sometime. Blessed are the meek. That word meek, does anybody know what that means? Meek, meekness, meek. I've got one definition of meek, and it said, those that endure suffering without resentment. Those that will endure suffering without resentment, without hate, without complaining, without crying about it. Now, more than me crying about it. That word more means to cry about the right thing, too. Blessed are those that mourn. And I probably have that there in my own words. Mourn about the right thing. There's a lot of things to mourn about. But self righteousness, self pity, that ain't one of them. The meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Since being out, and I thought that was one of the best definitions. I looked up meek in Webster's and Bible dictionaries and different dictionaries, and I thought that was the best definition for meekness. And in some places they tell you meekness is someone that will get up for God and say and do what God wants you to do for the glory of God, for reproving people, for rebuking people, in the right spirit. But that definition I read yesterday, endure suffering. And you can say endure suffering for the Lord without resentment. You see, because when you get up and reprove somebody, and it seems like that thing ought to get up and saved up without reproof or rebuke. It says all long suffering and doctrine. You got to have that long suffering, that spirit. I heard one preacher, he said, you love things you get up and talk about. You need to have fears to the night eyes on both sides. That spirit comes with you. You ain't up here knocking nobody down or trying to kill nobody. It's blessing. That God sends from blessed are the poor, the meek, the mourn, hungry, thirsty. Blessed are they. You try to get people out of this life that they live in so they can be blessed like what you're talking about here. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a spiritual desire, there's a spiritual need. People has. And some people don't even know they have. But when you meet God for an altar, you got a thirsting that's in there. He told the woman at the well, if you drunk of this water, you'd never thirst again. You wouldn't ever have another spiritual thirst. He wasn't talking about a physical thirst. He was talking about a spiritual thirst. That righteousness that comes with it, that shall be filled. Read those next three for us, Tom. You want to read for us? Blessed are they that are merciful. Now, he told some of the Pharisees about that. He said that you pay your tithes and that's bun and gum. He said you left off some of the other things, some of the weightier matters. In other words, some of the more meaningful matters. He said you left off mercy, judgment. He left these off. Love. He said, well, you should not have left these off. These are the more weighty matters. See, silver and gold have I none. Praise the Lord. This is a weighty matter. Yeah, they just had mercy there. That's right. We shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart.
you open them doors to your heart, you feel that purity come in. Boy, it's like a relief, like you can't even explain.
It's like a broken and a contact to you.
You were no wise despised. Now, it's amazing how it works, but it's no secret. They can't nobody care like they want to. People talks about it, testifies about it. And I've seen Sister Fanny, she's got it time and time again and talk about being saved, how she's been blessed and gone, and she would shout and quarrel and speak in tongues. But she could do the same thing the next service. She could do the same thing the next service. She could do the same thing the next service. World and talk and ask about and praise God to the highest. Praise the Lord. You will get to see again one day. Some of my life cut off too short for her when I come home. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Amen. I tell you what the heavens are calling you this morning. If you're the peacemaker God wants you to be, I tell you what they're calling you this morning.
Look down there, that peacemaker. What we do is talk to them about getting the heart right with God and bringing peace and joy to life.
Look at that one over there, preaching about love and joy and mercy. Huh?
Children of God. Praise the Lord. I'll have to begin. I've had a hard time with death this week.
Let's turn on over to page 70. Let me read them three, four, 10, 11, and 12. Studied up on that persecuted. One writer said there's two different things got to happen for you to be persecuted. You got to be pursued,
and then you got to be persecuted. Be reviled and speak all evil against you. Do things against you. They love it even. It says, say all matter of evil against you falsely. Make sure it's something false. Don't let it be something true. But they sometimes it can be worse than words, persecution.
But rejoice. This ain't no multiple choice answer here, or no multiple choice question. He tells you to be rejoicing when you being persecuted. He didn't tell you to duck your head. He didn't tell you to bury your head in the sand. You're supposed to have victory over evil and sin and the one that's coming against you too. If they come and lock me up and carry me down there at the courthouse and find me guilty and throw me in jail, I'm supposed to quit. I ain't supposed to sing like Paul and Silas did. Well, did we sing that while ago? The stock fell off. Did we sing that? Praise the Lord.
When they pulled a gun out and said, denounce Jesus, am I supposed to give up? I suppose they go ahead and shoot me, because when you pull that trigger, I'm going to heaven to praise God showing up.
Praise the Lord. And like the sister said now, I'm going to church. If you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord.
I don't want to suffer for the Lord. God, I can't go through none of that. I just can't.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in First National Bank. For great is your reward in Scotland Savings and Loan. For great is your reward at the stock market. Money, bonds, money market. For great is your reward in front of men. I got fussed out today, boy. I tell you what, I took it. You done got your reward if you're going to brag about it like that. For great is your reward in heaven.
Well, I feel like I'm the only one being persecuted.
They persecuted the prophets which were before you. Don't feel like it's no great thing or no big surprise. Persecution to the church ain't just started yesterday or this past week. Jesus hanging on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Until a man comes to the light and the acknowledgement of God, and let your light shine before men, that they may see the good works of the Father, which is in heaven, and glorify Him. Boy, I took it. I'm getting all the glory. Boy, I took it. I was being persecuted today, and I took it. I don't want God to have the glory. I want all the glory. That's what you're doing when you're saying all that, bragging, lifting yourself up, that fleshly righteousness. That ain't right. He said to look and see the light that God put in you. Your light you shine before me that He put in you. Amen. God's the one who put His blessings in your life. Amen. This is a roadmap for us to follow. And I like that key verse, y'all. On the front page there, 6-7, the key verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll see about some other verses right there. Romans chapter 8. Start right there at verse 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Hold right there, Sister Lisa. But go ahead and start at number 1, verse 1.
There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Go ahead and read 2, 3, and 4.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Go ahead and read 4 too.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now, what was the name of our lesson in the Sunday school book? The Spirit of the Christian. Now, are we talking about the spirit of the flesh who walk not after the flesh? Them that are in Christ Jesus. Can you see them now dancing about, flopping around, and inside the church, outside the church, in the gymnasiums, and at the swimming pool, and at the gatherings, and at the bowling alleys, and at the skating rinks, and doing everything they're doing in the name of Jesus, in the flesh. I tell you what young people need. They need to be in church at least 5 nights a week. That's what they need. They appear to the ball game on Monday night. They appear to the bowling alley on Tuesday night. They appear to the skating ring on Thursday night. They appear back to the ball game on Friday night. And they got practice, and they got their own teams, and they got the volleyball, and they got this and that and the other. And they ain't said a thing about Jesus all week. You hear Jesus mentioned 1 week, but volleyball this, and softball that, and go to the team this, and go over there, and go there, and all this church activity. And they've got that much spirit and about that much flesh. I tell you, they're right. God didn't mean for you to have that much flesh in the church. I know we're in the flesh, but we walk not after the flesh. I wish somebody would have took me by the hair of the head. I said, that man said, don't bother her. She's dragging me to perfection. I wish somebody would have drugged me in the church and set me on the pew and made me sit there.
I tried to tell my living old friend that we got talking about. She asked me, so Granny, what is a soul? And I told her, a soul. And I said, when you leave this world, your soul is in the body.
That's that soul reaching out in there saying that. That's exactly right. Keep telling them. You keep bringing them to. I wish I could get a busload of children and bring them, just gather them up like they're waiting on the Sunday the county school bus. I wish I could just gather them up in the Sunday school bus and bring them to church. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. A lot of them said, oh, you got to sin. You got to sin. There ain't no way you want to get around sin. If you sin and come short, you have an advocate with the Father. Repent and quit playing with sin. Make your path straight. Amen. There ain't no weaving about falling around and falling down without repenting and getting up and making your life right with God. If you fall on your knees, fall on your knees and start praying. It's weak. The law could not do it. It was weak. But through the likeness of Jesus, you can overcome the law of sin. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a law of righteousness. A law of righteousness. If everybody walked according to the laws and the righteousness of God, you wouldn't be out there with these thugs and these murderers killing the law that's trying to protect the laws of the land. You wouldn't need no laws of the land if everybody walked according to the rules of this book right here. There wouldn't be no murder. There wouldn't be no liars. There wouldn't be no idolatry and covetousness. There wouldn't be none of that stuff to have to deal with. Sister B, read that 5, 6, 7 for us. Say, go ahead, Sister B. What does that verse 8 say?
In the
Now, y'all don't think I'm writing this, do you? Or making this up, do you? Lord, I like to follow the scripture. Sister B, I don't know no other way to go. Sure, you can do some things with your kids, play ball, and have your little get together at the house, a little cookout and all. But when they get out there in this place and this, them coaches and them parents out there fussing, and I ain't gonna get into what all they'll do out there at the ball field. I know for myself, I've seen them. They'll break out in a pure fight out there over children playing a game. Sure will. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Praise the Lord. They that are in the spirit mind the things of the spirit, but those that have the mind of the flesh, they please the flesh. I can't change it. I can't change it for you. I can't change it for me. I wish to God everybody had followed the rules of God. This world would be heaven on earth. It would. The earth was intended for it to be heaven on earth to start with. God started to be wasn't full of sin. It was filled with righteousness. And when one sin come in, it took the leaves. And what the governor said. Said, where are you at?
Shh, there it comes. Hide, get down.
Be quiet. Adam. Eve. Where y'all at? Well, we hid ourselves. You hid what you had for. Because we knew that we was exposed. We had been exposed to sin. They didn't know what sin was. They didn't have the foggiest idea what sin was. But when you take that bite, when you reach out there and grab what you ain't got no business, you know it. I'm glad I have to tell you. The church folks, you sure don't have to tell them. I mean, I hate the way it is. I hate the way things set up. I hate the way they govern. And I hate the way they do things. But they don't have to, you don't have to tell them they're out there in the flesh, that they're out there reaching for something they ain't got no business taking hold to. The Bible tells them. They can't read it no different from I do. What I do, they can interpret it in kind of way they want to, but it still reads the same. That's the reason why they put so many Bibles and went and rewrote them, so they'd say what they wanted them to say. That ain't going to get them to heaven neither, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, and God knows his enemies. Have you got an enemy you don't know who he is?
Praise the Lord.
I hope I got one. I don't know who he is. And I know I got enemies. If you're serving God, you probably got some too. You might not know who they are, but they're against you. There's some of them that are against me. That's all I can believe in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot believe God. I hope God bless you. I hope you make it to heaven. I hope you get your life straight. I hope you repent. Do what God wants you to do. He said, love you, and he did. Didn't he say, love your enemies? Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, pray for this. But say all manner of evil against you, and persecute you. Verse 9. What was that?
I said,
except for the devil. Verse 9 said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. They walk on the deep end if they want to,
don't go off that way. The Lord's not going to tell you to serve Him in love and peace and have exceedingly gladness and joy, and then tell you to turn. He said that you give Him all them things. He said, for you not to do that fight, He said, I will repay. Did anyone handle what He said? He didn't say you go out there and cut your ear off with a sword, did he? What did he tell me? He said he didn't live by the sword.
Die by the sword.
Yeah. He didn't live by the flesh. But do what?
Die by the flesh.
Praise the Lord. And then you don't follow the Spirit and walk after the flesh. You don't follow the flesh, you walk after the Spirit. You can't get sweet and bitter from the same fountain. Right?
Yeah.
Alright? Boy, ain't this lesson good for your soul. God, don't just stir you up. The Beatitudes. The life and the spirit of a Christian. I tell y'all what, folks. I've learned this over the years. If you talk to somebody and they don't line up with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, if you talk to somebody that don't believe in angels and heaven, if you talk to them and they don't line up with the Beatitudes, you can pretty well say they ain't living what they need to be living. If you get a commentary book of Youngers or Thompson, whatever, if you get you some common study Bibles or study definition of Bible dictionaries, any type of book, if they don't line up, check them out. If they don't line up with the King James Version, put them back on the shelf. If that soul over there, if you can't help them and talk to them, leave them where they're at. No. Especially when you go into their church. And that church doesn't know what to do. Like Pharisees and scribes. You in their church, you can't say a whole lot. You know, you don't want to get up and make a mess. Especially if it gets to the point where you feel like they're coming directly at you. You know, you don't want to make a mess. If God gives it to you, I mean, you can go ahead with it. But there's no sense in forcing what they don't want. Trying to force it on. You start getting the flesh. You see what I'm saying? The flesh is the enemy of God. Anger of man does not include the righteousness of God. How'd that scripture go? I can't quote it, but it says that the anger of man does not exalt the righteousness of God, something like that. I can't quote it right now. But your anger and your self will mess up, you see. That's why sometimes you have to realize when it's time to quit. It's time to quit. You know. Sit down, she preached to someone with her years ago. Quit. She said, God, she's anointed to start and stop. That some of them ain't got no stopping sense. Huh? And that's the same way with the scribes and the Pharisees. That's the same way with the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't know how to stop. They didn't know where to stop. They didn't know where the boundary lines at. Y'all do like we say. See, we the ones in the temple, you ain't got no business coming in here unless you invited or unless we. Unless you come through our council, just like the publican that was praying on the day, and the other stood up, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. Lord, I fast twice a week, not like him. And Lord, I'm glad I pray, and I'm a rabbi, not like him. You have to leave that behind. You have to leave it behind. Any more questions? Any questions or comments? All right, well, we appreciate y'all. Let's go over to the Sunday school this morning. Anybody got a birthday this week? I sure hope y'all got something out of that lesson. Boy, I love them Beatitudes. We could go on with them. We might just do that on a Wednesday night services, going with Beatitudes. I never went away with them Beatitudes teaching on them. Well, it's full of good teachings. Anybody has a birthday this week? What about an anniversary?
Birthday? Yeah, I just told him. Grandma Wilson's birthday. I got good news.
Is it February the 10th already?
Yep.
Used to say her birthday was February the 14th. I wanted her to be a Valentine's baby, which this is close enough to Valentine's already. Well, let's say happy birthday to Miss Louise Wilkins. She died January 2011. She'll miss them when they're gone.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I said, I can't do like Leah, keep running backwards and forwards. I'll be worn myself out. But we appreciate everything you give. The Lord will bless you. You don't have to worry about that. God will bless you for giving pennies just like He will dollars. I ain't never felt like I was worth much more than a handful of pennies, but God bless me in a mighty way. God bless you. Bless your life. Come on, Sister Amy. Maybe you sing one of yours before we go into the next part of the service. Y'all be praying for me, too. I didn't say nothing earlier, but I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. They've done that CT on me the other day and all. And that boy, I kind of worried him in Iraq. He was a Mexican boy. He was good, though. He was real good. They're Longbird. He said, we're going to have to put the dye in you. I said, what? He said, yeah, we got to put an IV in you on so we put the dye in there. I said, I wasn't looking for the IV and all that. He said, well, it ain't no problem. It ain't just a simple thing. I thought to myself, you ain't going to get stuck here, you know. But everything went good. He didn't have a bit of problem putting the IV on. He did real good, had a good soft touch and everything, x-rayed and all. But I suppose to go back to my doctor tomorrow, they're going to know what the results are. So y'all be praying for me before we get to it. He can take 50 cents and turn it into $5,000. Amen. That's what I like about God. You trust in God and see if he don't bless you. He said if you believe that you receive, it's in there. Go ahead, sister. Y'all pray.
If you should get to heaven before God calls me home, there's one thing I'd like you to do. After you say Christ is Savior and all your wants be, march around home on time with me. Things happen according to the will. You know, we wish people could live forever.
Lord, I happen to see your code, you know, but ain't me, it can't be that way.
Right.
It can't be that way. He's got a plan and a purpose. But, you know, what's good about death for the Christian is, you know, if the deceased is saved, then you're saved, you'll see him again. You know, we have hope that sinners don't have. You know, we got that hope and that peace that, you know, it's just, it's not goodbye forever. It's see you later, you know. But I appreciate the Lord this morning, and y'all help me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel, chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 11. I hope you marked it with a bookmark. If not, I might need to get one. I thought that would be Daniel a little while. We still keep your place still in Psalms, because we may still end up back in Psalms some, but the Lord's been leading me. But I must say this, I've been fighting a lion at work, and the Lord showed me that it was a lion. So I've been trying my best to be a good Daniel, and I'm nowhere near as good as Daniel was, but there's always room for improvement, Sister Lisa. And if we don't try to improve, what good are we? You know, I know I'm not nowhere near the way Daniel was, but I got to try, you know, and the Lord can help me be all that I need to be. So I've been in Daniel reading some. The Lord's been kind of giving me some scripture for the church and for work. So, but Daniel chapter 3 and verse 11. When you find it, if you would say amen.
Amen.
That's Daniel chapter 3 and verse 11. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of a cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye will fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O Nebuchadnezzar. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, me, anytime that I see something, you know, Sister Lisa, sometimes when you're out and about in the world, things happen where somebody wants you to go against what you stand for. And a lot of times it's happened in college. They'll say, well, they say you either do this or you can't take this class, or and if you can't take class, then you can't get into this program, or you that goes against your GPA, or this goes against this. And the whole time, whenever something like that happens, you immediately start praying, Lord, please make a way where this don't happen. Please make a way. Or I had a chemistry professor, and he said, what you doing in here with this skirt on? And I said, I believe in wearing skirts. I said, that's why I wear skirts. And he said, it ain't long enough. I have never had somebody not tell me that my skirt was not long enough. I wear my skirts to my ankles. Now, I don't fault. I do, as long as they come below the knee and they decent when you walking and you sitting down, they're not coming above nothing, I feel like it's all right. But I just love long skirts. I always have. That's my thing. I love, if it comes to the ankles, that's just fine. If it goes to the floor, that's just fine. I got skirts to drag around. That's my preference. And he told me my skirt, which was down to my ankles, was not long enough. because you could see my ankle. He said, so I dropped some acid on the floor. It might splash up on your ankle. I said, well, I will wear boots.
Right.
I said, I'll wear boots. He said, no, you got to wear tennis shoes. I said, well, let me tell you something. These girls is around here, and they've got these ankle pants on, and their ankles is showing, and they're wearing tennis shoes, and you're not saying nothing to them. Why are you saying anything to me? I had to go to the head of the department, Sister Lisa, and she said, well, why don't you wear tights? But the not the tights as in the thicker Haney pose, the tights as in the pants tights. I said, because it's still pants. I said, and I can't wear the tights. She said, well, what you going to do? I said, he's going to let me in that class with my ankle-length skirt and my boots up to my knees, and I'm going to be in that class. But Sister B, I tell you what, the whole time I was praying. I said, Lord, please, give me what to say. Tell me what to do. Help me all the way. And I thank Sister Lisa that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they gathered them around, they sent out all the invitations for them. They said, all right, everybody's going to come. We want the whole province to come. All you well-to-do people, all the poor people, all the slaves, all the slave owners, everybody's going to come. And I bet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started thinking, right there, something's going on. Something's going on right now. We're going to have to pray. Go ahead and start praying. I tell you what, Sister B, you got to talk to the Lord about the problem before you talk to the problem about the Lord. Y'all hear me now. Sister, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all the way. Wherever they lived, I've been walking all the way. I said, Lord, help us. Give us what to do. Tell us what to say. All the way, Mama. And then I believe when they got there, they said, Lord, here's a giant statue. Y'all hit me up. Here's a giant gold statue. I said, what are we going to have to do? What are they going to want us to do? Sister Lisa, it ain't about what they're going to make you do, because they can't make you do nothing. I read that verse the other day, and it said, when Daniel told Darius, y'all help me out now. He told Darius said, Daniel, oh Daniel, are you all right?
Yeah.
And Daniel said, the lion couldn't do me no harm. Said he couldn't do me any harm. That's because the Lord, Daniel prayed to the Lord first, Sister Lisa. He didn't go talking to the lion and said, let me tell you what all my Lord can do. He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need something to tell this lion. I need to know what I need to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Lord, there's a reason he's calling us up and we need to know why. Said then when they got in front of that image, Lord, here's the reason and we need something to tell him. I tell you what, you don't say nothing and you don't do nothing if the Lord don't tell you what to say and what to do. I pray yesterday, y'all help me out, I think we get somewhere. That little old lady, what was her name?
Gross.
I call her Miss Gross.
Gross.
That little old lady, I said, Lord, if there's anything that I can say, will you help me say it?
Right.
If there's anything I can do to comfort that lady's heart, will you give it to me? And he didn't give me nothing. I said, Lord, why I just stand still? I said, there's a line right there. She's facing a problem, Sister Lisa. But if I ain't got the words to fix it, I'm hindering, Sister Lisa. I tell you what, you don't go to that line first. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to talk to God first. And then we're going to go tell the line what God said. We don't go to that line saying, let me tell you what Sister Amy said. Let me tell you what Sister Pam said. We go to the line and we tell him what God said. Your word ain't good enough, Sister Lisa. My word ain't good enough. It don't mean nothing if the Lord ain't backing it up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got peace about it. When they end up and praying all the way from where they lived all the way to the courtyard, and then when they saw the image, they prayed even more. And when Nebuchadnezzar asked them, said, why won't you bow? He said, I tell you what, if you don't bow, you'll burn. They said, well, I tell you what, God will deliver us from burning, or he'll take us on to glory. And if you don't fix it, he'll fix it over there. But one way or another, it's going to be fixed. He might not deliver you. He might not deliver you. Sister Lisa, you might have to go through it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already had peace about it. Because they done talked to the Lord about it first. That's this Sister Nina. He didn't tell us what he was going to do. He just gave us peace about whatever.
that's for sure. We don't know what the Lord's going to do, but he's going to give us confidence about what we're going to do. And you might be stepping here, I'm not going to bet.
Sure, she's all right. It broke my heart. And it's been breaking my heart ever since. And you've been putting in prayer requests for her since I saw her. Do you want it to stay unfixed?
You want God to fix it? Pray. Or whatever it takes.
Sister Lisa, we can't keep living like this. Sister Lisa, we worry about them for years and years and years. Because we pray, we say, Lord, fix it, but don't fix it like that. Lord, handle it, but don't handle it like that. I still want it. I still need it. I don't want that to happen. For I hope, Sister Lisa, that it don't take something drastic to bring them in. But sometimes it takes something drastic. My Aunt Jordine got saved because she dreamed she was in the paw of the devil's hand. And she got saved. That's all it took. All it took for me was I felt lonely without him.
I was scared to be without him. And I felt like it was selfish that when I was a sinner, I couldn't pray for people who needed prayer. I felt selfish. When my family was sick, I couldn't pray for them. I felt selfish. That's all it took for me. That's all it took. But for some people, it takes a lot more than that. But sometimes we hinder the hand of the Lord. Because we want it to be done just like we want. So every shame in this is whatever happens that we might burn. But one thing's for sure, we won't bow. We won't bow. That's for sure. Sister Bing, that's got to be a determination. That's got to be for sure, Sister Lisa. The Lord has to be able to take that to the bank, so to speak, on you. Whatever I do, you won't bow.
Right.
Sister B, take it to the Lord first.
Yes.
What we need is peace about it.
That's right.
You don't really need an answer. You need peace about whatever God is going to do.
Yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went and they got peace about it. They said, we don't know what he's going to do. But whatever he does, we know what we're going to do.
Right.
We might burn him,
yeah,
but we're not going to bow. Sister Lisa, it may not work out like you want it to.
Right.
It may not get straightened out. But you go get peace.
That's right.
What you need, we really don't need answers like we think we need answers. We ask the Lord for answers and we pray for answers. And the Lord, we really don't need the answers. We need peace about whatever answer we're going to get. That's why a lot of times we feel like the Lord's not answering us at all. It's because you don't need the answer. You need peace about answers. Sister Dina, let it be what it is. You know, I got some people I trust with my life. Like, and I'm not big on politics. I don't like to talk about some things because it's a downer, you know, and we need to be encouraged. But Donald Trump, I don't think he's doing any wrong right now. Because I feel like God's got him up there. I feel like God's done the thing. And I'm not saying he can't do wrong. I'm not saying he's perfect. But you know, you got some people, it just don't matter what they do. You love them to death. They don't matter. They had to have a reason for it. Most of the time when my parents do stuff, I don't follow them. I say, well, they must have had a reason.
Yeah.
I can about tell when somebody's got a reason to do something. Grandma Peggy said, well, she's had to have a reason. It's just to me, you've got times where people you just love, and you just say, well, they got to have a reason. Whatever they done, there's a reason. And I'm not saying nothing bad. I'm saying things that sometimes you don't understand why people do things.
Right.
That's the same with the Lord. We got to love the Lord like that.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know why you done it,
right,
but I know there's a reason. I don't believe in coincidences, and you won't hear me say coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. Coincidence is what evolution was founded on. Coincidence means that all of a sudden, one day, the universe can belch, and here we all are. That's a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Everything happens for a reason, and everything is part of God's plan. Now, I appreciate the Lord this morning, and I feel like that message is kind of heavy, because it's a lot, Sister Lisa. We have to give control over to God. Sometimes that takes a lot of, we have to have the flesh under subjection. That takes a lot of that. So right now, I'd like for us to all gather around the altar and pray. I feel like there's something we can all take away from the message, but if it didn't hit you as hard as it hit others, pray for others.
Right.
There's always something to pray about, Sister Liz. There's no reason not to be praying, because there's always something to pray about. Gather around the altar and pray. Just like
pray.
I'd
like to say something before we pray. Okay, please. I would remember back home, we just had a prayer meeting in the home. Sister Weaver, she was a whole small, had a big fall right there in the back of her bathroom, her sleeves were long. She's an old school Church of God, the way I was brought up with her. And her husband was a mean man. He beat on her, he'd get drunk, he'd go to town and stay for days, just lay around drunk on the street. She put in a request at one of the prayer meetings. She said, said, God, I want y'all to pray that God, whatever it takes, he's my stumbling block for you move. 2 weeks, that man died with a heart attack. When he died, here's what she does. She cut her hair off. She dressed with beads and jewelry on. She come up to the dress a little bit. And that she was out in the world. Last time I heard from her, she was in the world. So when you pray and you ask God to do something, you need to stay where you was at instead of going back out in the world.
That's right.
God didn't save her for her to go back out in the world and take that man from her so she could go to church.
Right.
He took him because she asked him to. And I believe with all my heart, if that woman would be, I don't know, she may be dead now. I just wondered in my mind if she ever got right back. She's a very good, humble woman. Could say, let me tell you, let me tell about Jesus. She could sing it as humble as you ever heard. And then when she asked God to move her stomach block, her husband, she went right back in the world. That's a sad picture. We gotta be careful. When we ask God to do something, go on with God. I wouldn't be back out in the world for nothing in the world. Nothing out there. I didn't get out in the world, Brady, because, well, I'll take it back. I was a bad cousin. If you guessed from me, I'd fight. And I would. And I would also cuss. I didn't use the Lord's name in vain, but I said words of shit. If you come up to me talking to yourself, I hauled back and buddy, I'd smack you right in the face. I never ever get us coming from school one day. I was in high school. And this little boy, he walked up to me and he started with it. Started picking on me. I said, boy, you better get away from me. He said, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, pow, knocked him down on the ground. Just took all my strength and he fell backwards. Few minutes, here come his mama. Big old fat woman come down the road. She told mama, said, your daughter has hit my son. I said, yeah, and I'll kill him the next time he hits me. Because he hit me. He was a boy about that tall, and he was fat, and he was strong. The boy I hit, I knocked him backwards. I didn't know I had that much strength in my hands, because we were